Ezekiel 37, 1, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of a valley, of the valley which was full of bones, caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and ye shall, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen to the Lord's word. Would you pray for me tonight? Ask the Lord to help me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for your goodness and everyone that's here. I ask for your anointing tonight, Lord. I ask for fresh oil from the throne. God, I pray for your spirit to touch us. Help us tonight, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in this service. Lord, we give you glory tonight and we give you praise. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The Bible says here that he was carried out in the Spirit. And this was a vision or however the Lord did it. Amen. I believe that it's God's will for us to get in the Spirit. The Bible says that John, the beloved, said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You've got to realize that this man was an old man, an old disciple. Amen. Late in his life. They tried to kill him. They tried to throw him in boiling oil, and he wouldn't die. They banished him, no doubt, in severe pain, no doubt, in all types of trouble. Amen. And the Bible says that he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Here, I know that this is a prophecy that has came to pass in the last century that has been fulfilled right out of the Scripture, where God would take Israel back into their homeland and would cause them to rise up and become a people and a nation. Now, I know that this has taken place. No doubt there is a spiritual insight. No doubt that there's something that God has for every one of us in this. How many of us tonight, if we was honest, would look at situations in our life and say they're just like a valley that is full of bones, and like Ezekiel said, lo, they were very dry. And if we looked at situations in our life, whether it is prayers that we're praying, whether it's loved ones we're praying for, whether it's a new direction in our life, amen, that seems so large to us and so impossible to man. God loves to work the impossible. God loves to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, the Bible says. Carried them out, and I want to preach for a little while from this. No doubt it's been preached on many, many times, and I want to preach what God asked Ezekiel. The Bible says that he carried him out and put him in this valley in the spirit, and put him in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. There was bones all around him. I guess that's the way we're to look at it. The Bible says it caused him to pass them round about. Amen. The Spirit of God caused Ezekiel to go around these bones and get a good look at them. And the Bible says that he asked him, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, I want to preach tonight on that phrase right there. I feel like the Lord would like to ask us, can these bones live? Have you been looking at your bones? Have you been looking at your valley? Have you been looking at your situation? Have you saw it today? Amen. Has it caused you to worry? Has it caused you to fret? Whether it's financial needs, whether it's prayer requests, whether it's trouble in our life, trouble in our family, trouble in our soul. Amen. If you pass round about and look at the so hopeless situation. Now, friend, this was a hopeless situation. What could Ezekiel do about this? What could he do? Now, I know that man has very excellent technology, and medical science has gone to the extreme that it blows our mind in the ability that doctors and physicians and specialists and medical professionals can do on the human body. But I'm here to tell you they can do nothing about dried bones. They cannot put life back in it. They cannot cause the flesh and the sinew and the skin and all to cover them like God says. And that's exactly what took place. Now I'm telling you, when we look at the shape of our world and we look at the shape of society, we look at the shape that the church world is in, there's no doubt that we could honestly say that we're in the valley that is full of dry bones. And I'd like for the Lord to help us tonight, because no matter how helpless and no matter how hopeless our situation may seem, God is still able. I want to preach about two things here. He prophesied or preached, amen, obeyed the Lord in two things. He first told them to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, it is so important for us to hear the word of God. There's not a greater power on this earth right now than this old black back book. There's not a greater power. Amen. There is not a greater power than that Bible that we overlook every day. There's not a greater power in this world than the Word of God. Amen. Matter of fact, you say, what about the name of Jesus? There's power in the name of Jesus. All power, amen, is given unto the Lord, but the Bible says in Psalms that he magnified his word above all his name. Hallelujah. Thank God. You think about the power in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the power of the word of God, the power of the spoken word of God. Amen. The power of God's word. Hallelujah. That is alive today and is real today as ever it was before. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in Amos that there would come a famine in the land. Amen. The famine, not of God's word being spoken. Amen. But the famine in Amos chapter number 8. In verse 11, he said, amen, there'd be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. My God, if we ever lived in a day and hour where we need to hear a word from the Lord. My wife told me about a song the other day. Let me listen to it. And it says, we don't need another political uprising. We don't need another Compt. Is that what it said on the sea? But what we need is a special touch. Amen. Said we need a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And what we must have in our life is a word from the Lord. God said, prophesy unto these bones and say, thus saith the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. Now I want to tell you something. When God's word is spoken, even the bones, the dry bones have to move. The Bible said, as he prophesied, there was a shaking. It reminds me of a scripture that I read that's very familiar in the book of Acts, that the Bible says that Peter went down to Cornelius' house to the Gentiles when God poured the Holy Ghost out on the Gentiles. And ain't you glad that the Lord, that God poured the Holy Ghost out on the Gentiles? Hallelujah. Thank God. He was there and he was hungry. Amen. The preacher got hungry while I was fixing fried chicken. Hallelujah. I guess. Amen. And the Bible says that he wanted to eat, but it wasn't ready. Have you ever been there before? You're so hungry, but it wasn't ready yet. You had to wait on it. And I read the other day, said you eat out too much when you call your kids and say, let's eat, and they run and get in the car. But or you ask them what they want to eat, and they start naming off restaurants. But he was hungry, and he was going to get something to eat, and it wasn't ready yet. And the Bible said that he fell asleep. And while he was asleep, a trance came on him, or a vision came to him, and this sheep came down from heaven. And man, you're talking about pigs and bacon and shrimp and all kinds of things that those Jews would never eat. I mean, some pork chops. Peter never had no pork chops. And the Bible said that a voice came from heaven and said, arise and eat. Said, Peter, you thought you wanted fried chicken, but try some of this. Try this BLT. Hallelujah. And he said, not so, Lord. I've never touched anything that was common or unclean. And God said, don't call that which is common and unclean. What I have cleansed, call thou not common or unclean. It happened 3 times. Amen. And Cornelius had sent men because he had heard an angel had came to him. Now this man had sought God so much. He was a Gentile. And his house had sought God so much. And I'm talking about while he was prophesying, the bones came together. Amen. Cornelius had sought God. There in Acts chapter, was it chapter 10? Hallelujah. Amen. Where the Bible says that he said, your prayers heard, and said, send down there. Amen. To that man's house, and told the name and said where he was, and said, tell him to give a man named Peter, and said, send him. He'll tell you what you need to do. And while Peter was thinking about all these things, they knocked on the door. Isn't it wonderful how God works? Amen. How God sets things up. God can order our steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. I want God to order my steps. Hallelujah. And Peter said, they said somebody's seeking you. And Peter was up there on the rooftop, and God said, 3 men are seeking you. Hallelujah. Praise God. When the doorbell rings, God's a speaking to him. Hallelujah. When they're knocking on the door, God said, go with them and don't doubt nothing. Peter went down there and began to preach. Amen. When he walked in the door, they fell at his feet and began to worship him. Peter said, get up, don't worship me. I'm a man just like you. I'm telling you, we're not to worship nobody but God. We're not to worship Mary. We're not to worship the Pope. We're not even to worship angels. Amen. The angel told them, said, don't worship me. I'm an angel. Amen. Only worship God. Hallelujah. And Peter told them, get up. I'm telling you, there's a problem when we start accepting too much praise and adoration and lifting up. Amen. Because all the praises go unto Jesus. He's the one that picked me up when I was down all the way. The song said, all the praises belong to Jesus. He's the one that made me what I am today. God can use us as a vessel, but he can cast us aside at the very moment, amen, that he doesn't get all the glory. And the Bible says that while he was preaching to them,
Hallelujah. While he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on him. Hallelujah. Peter never did finish the sermon. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a sir. He never got to 3 points in a poem. He never got to the last point. He never finished it up. He was telling about the resurrection, telling about Jesus Christ. And while he's preaching to them, Brother Bobby, they started speaking in tongues. And the Holy Ghost come on them. And the Bible said it came on them just like it did in the upper room. They went back to those leaders at Jerusalem. They'd given Peter and those men a hard time for being among Gentiles. They stood up and said the Holy Ghost came on them just like it came on us at the first. God had filled many with the Holy Ghost by this time. Many Jews. Amen. He don't always do it the same way. I've seen the Lord fill with the Holy Ghost. Maybe somebody shouting. I've seen God fill with the Holy Ghost while somebody was weeping. I've seen God fill with the Holy Ghost when somebody, you know, just filled with the Holy Ghost. Nothing going on. I remember, amen, different instances. I remember this one little old boy when we was preaching a revival. And this little old bitty boy, we was almost over with church. He is up there, just had his hands raised. And man, the Holy Ghost came on him. He wasn't 7 or 8 years old. Amen, began to speak out, hallelujah, loud in an unknown tongue. And tears just running down his face. I've heard testimony, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost by their bed. I'm telling you, God don't always fill with the Holy Ghost the same way. Amen. But they could say he filled them with the Holy Ghost just like we got it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like I was in the upper room. I can somebody say. Amen. Then you're talking about deja vu, man. I thought, amen, that we saw the fire there for a moment. Amen. But while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost came on him. While Ezekiel was prophesying, the bones started shaking. The Bible said, while I prophesied, there was a shaking. Now I want to ask you something tonight. I felt like the Lord dealt with me in the prayer room tonight. And I wrote this down, said, can you endure shaking in your world for God to put it all together? Hallelujah. Can we endure shaking in our world for God to put it all together? Now I want to tell you something. The Bible said bone came to his bone. Thank God. God does everything in order. Can you imagine if they just stuck bones and God just stuck them together? I mean, how'd you like to have your hand down here on your knee? And those bones was all spread out. They had been there for years to be in that shape. And can you imagine a coyote coming in that valley and grabbing a bone, carrying over here? Can you imagine some, you know, mama coyote coming in there with about 12 pups? I mean, bone, 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 boom, boom, just going everywhere. And God put them all back together, every bone. That person that died, he didn't take Brother Mike's shin bone and put it on me. He took my shin bone and put it back on there. Hallelujah! God has a way of putting things together. When God puts it together, he puts it together right. Hallelujah, Brother Joe Bill Houston, Brother Bill Houston's dad. Joe Bill Houston wrote that song, My God Can Fix It. He's a fix-it man, fixing souls and bodies all over the land. And when we return to, and then he returned to his home on high to fix me a mansion up in the sky. Hallelujah. He fixes the white, he fixes the black, yellow, brown, red, and he fixes them right. He has no respect of persons, you see. And that same spirit he gave to me. Y'all know the song. Amen. He said, God can fix it. He's a fix-it man. Amen. I'm telling you, God shook that valley. You're talking about that valley shaking. Amen. All the bones start falling together. Somebody said something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. It's the power of the Word of God at work. And when God goes to work in your life, you'll have family members say something's wrong. You've lost your mind. Something's wrong there. No, nothing's wrong. God's making it right. Amen. They said the disciples turned the world upside down. They didn't turn the world upside down. God was turning the world right side up. Hallelujah. The Word of God. Hear the Word of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that there would come a day that God would shake the things. Amen. Talking about this shaking. He said, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hallelujah. God will shake our world to get rid of things that don't belong there. Amen. God will shake our world to put things back together in our life. Amen. God will shake our world, and sometimes that shaking is the hardest thing to go through. When the valley goes to shaking, the ground went to shaking. Amen. You talking about there's no telling what will go on. The devil getting stirred up, somebody said. Amen. All kinds of demonic attacks and the forces of hell coming against your family, your mind. He's trying to get you to turn around, trying to get you to give up, trying to get you to quit. Quit reading the Bible. Quit going to church. Quit being faithful to God. Quit fasting. Quit praying. Amen. What's going on? I'm telling you, God's a shaking it up. Amen. The power of the Word of God is at work. Amen. And He's saying, I'm going to put it back together. And when God puts it together, amen, don't let man put it asunder, the Bible says. When God put the bone back to the bone, amen, it's not man's place to correct God. We don't have to get on a conference call and call every preacher and every pastor and every evangelist and find out what they think.
Opinions. So many different opinions that you'll face in life. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody does. Somebody said it's like noses, and everybody's is different. Everybody's got them, and everybody's is different. But when God puts things together, let God put it together. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Hear what thus saith the Lord. We need to hear from God. We need to hear what God's Word says. We need to hear what God's Word breathes. Hallelujah. Praise God. When God speaks, it always lines up with His Word. When Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, he put those stones in order. When they put the sacrifice on the altar, they was to put it in order. They were supposed to use the same fire and the certain type of fire. Eleazar's brothers, Aaron's sons, two of them offered strange fire on the altar, and God sent out another fire and killed them, consumed them. I heard somebody on the radio talking about prophets and prophecies and different things. People say this, and you know, I know we get to a place. Everybody's got a word from the Lord. You got to be careful about that. We have to be careful about that. The Bible tells us that everybody ain't a prophet. The Bible tells us to try the spirits and see if they're of God. Amen. I'm not talking about a critical spirit. We got to pray that God will speak to us. Something the other day, you know, talking about the spirit of, or the gift of discernment. Now I want to say this right here. The gift of criticism is not the gift of discernment. Somebody's got the gift of criticism and they criticize everything. They think they got the gift of discernment. I've seen people that are, you know, maybe like a little bit critical, and they can figure things out. I mean, you know, they don't trust everybody. A lot of times they'll sniff it out before I do or before you do or something, you know, because they have that type of a attitude or whatever. But that don't mean you got the gift of discernment just because you got a critical spirit. But anyways, we ought to pray that God gives us the gift of discernment. That God helps us in this day and hour. We have to be careful. We're dealing with our soul. Having a prayerful attitude. And this man on the radio, he was trying to explain that when a prophet or somebody prophesied, that if they was not 100% accurate, or if what they said was going to happen, if it didn't come to pass, then that did not mean that they wasn't a prophet. I want to tell you something. In the Bible, it tells us that if somebody prophesies to you and it doesn't come to pass, that you don't have to fear them. He didn't say they was full of the devil. Amen? Because people get, get enthused. And I've been there before, you know? Well, I'm just enthused. Now, I've prayed about something and I want it to happen so bad that I may say something. But the Bible says if you prophesy and it doesn't come to pass, then you don't fear that person. They're not a true prophet. That's just as plain as black and white. And this man on the radio was trying to say that Agabus, which was the man who came down there when Paul was going to Jerusalem. And he grabbed Paul's coat. Y'all know the story. And he wrapped it up. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, they'll bind Paul." The man who owns this, they'll bind him at Jerusalem. And he was trying to say that that didn't come to pass, said, because they killed him in Rome. I thought, man, something ain't right here. So I went and looked it up. He didn't say they would kill him. He said they would bind him. And they did bind him in Jerusalem. And that man that prophesied there in Acts, whatever it was, 19 or whatever chapter it is there in Acts, that man that prophesied, every word that he said came to pass. He was a true prophet. And this man on the radio was trying to twist it up. I don't know what he had said or prophesied. Maybe he said something, you know, whatever, you know. Get carried away. D.L. Moody said, "My emotions have deceived me 1,000 times. Amen. Anyway, he's talking about everybody's got a word from the Lord, and everybody prophesies, and everybody says this. Paul said, everybody don't need to prophesy in the church. He said, I know you come in here in the Corinthians. He said, you're all shook up and everything's on, you know, everybody got a word and everybody's got this and it's just a mass confusion. He said, let everything be done decently in order. He said, prophecy and tongues and interpretation, 3 at the max in every service. Come on, do we have some Pentecostal folks here tonight? I'm talking about them Corinthians getting carried away. And the whole time they're getting carried away, there's a fornicator right there in the church. My Lord, help me. How in the world did I get this far out here? Way out in deep water tonight. Amen. But prophesy, hearing from God. God uses men to speak to us. God uses women to speak to us. Amen. God anoints. But everybody's not anointed. But just because, amen, everybody's not anointed don't mean somebody's not anointed. Well, what do? Line it up with the Word of God. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Amen. Don't pass out Cadillac keys and tell everybody they're going to be millionaires. Come on now. There's a difference there. Amen. I want a blessing from God. I want a brand new Cadillac. Don't you? Wouldn't bother me. But I tell you what's more important than a brand new Cadillac is a touch from God. The power of God and the healing by touch of God. But anyways, hearing the word from the Lord. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear. Now I went and looked it up because I thought it said ears. But Revelation 2 and 7 said, he that hath an ear. Singular. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, amen, let him hear. Verse 29 of chapter 2, he that hath an ear. Revelation 3 and 6, same thing. Revelation 3, 13, amen, all the way to the church of Laodicea. He's saying, if you've got an ear, you better hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen, this time for us to tune our ear to heaven's radio. It's time for us as people of God to get in tune with what God has to say. Amen. It's time for us to turn our ears to the Word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He stood in the midst of his valley, this valley of bones. Amen. God said, can they live? Lord, you know. He said, I'll tell you what, tell them to hear the Word of the Lord. I'm telling you, any situation, any soul, any sickness, any financial need, any ministry, if they'll tune their ear to the Word of the Lord, something's going to happen. Something's going to shake up. Somebody's going to be saved. Somebody's going to be delivered. Somebody's going to be healed. Somebody's going to be put back together, because the Word of God never fails. Hallelujah. George Whitefield in the early days of America would preach, no microphone, no modern technology, and they'd hear him for miles away. God would carry his voice. They said he had such a booming voice, but said it was impossible for them to be able to hear so far. Large crowds, thousands of people would gather in open fields as George Whitefield would preach. And infidel man said, I'm going to go down there and see if it's really true. He got back at the back of the crowd and climbed up in a tree watching people. He had his
fingers in his ear. He wouldn't listen. Wouldn't
pay no attention. Had his ears shut. Got up there.
Held his ears.
George Whitfield stood up. He's looking around. People are moved and crying, paying direct attention to this man that he can barely see. Time goes on. He's sitting there. He said, I can't believe this. I can't believe they're hearing that man talk from way up there. He said, I'm just going to pull my fingers off my ears for just a moment and see if I can hear him. I'm going to put them back. He pulled his fingers off his ears, and George Whitfield read back and said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise God. He said he didn't put his fingers back on the ear, but instead he got saved that day and became a preacher of the gospel. Thank God for the power of God's word. Thank God you go to church and say, somebody's been talking to the preacher. Nobody's been talking to the preacher. That's the word of God. Amen. He said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts. God's word knows what I'm thinking. You come to church, think somebody's been talking to the preacher. If he broke open the word of God, the bread of life, and pulled out that sword, amen, the preacher may not even know what he's saying. It's the word of God. It won't return unto him void. It will accomplish where he sends it. Amen. Now I can go out in bones. I can say as much as I want to say. But if God's word is in my mouth, amen, the bone is going to live. Amen. The valley's going to come to life. Amen. God's going to move in our life. I want to tell you something, church. Your valley may be oh so dry. Your bones may be oh so many. Amen. You may be hopeless and helpless tonight. You may think that there's no hope for your situation, but the word of God has power to bring everything to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I remember one time a demon-possessed woman when I was young. My brother got up, was praying. She got delivered that night, and you know, everybody that's demon-possessed don't thrash around and wallow foaming. You can find that in the Bible. When Jesus cast out devils, some of them, he just left. Matter of fact, the Syrophoenician's daughter, the devil just left out of her. She's laying on the couch. But one time, there was a little boy, when Jesus spoke to that devil, or when he saw Jesus, he fell down and wallowed foaming. Foaming out of his mouth, wallowed all around. People do that when they're demon-possessed. But not everybody. Anyway, she was one of them, you know, carrying on. And I know people, you know, say this, that, or the other, but sometimes, you know, you may have to restrain them a little bit or they're going to hurt yourself. But regardless of the fact, my brother had a Bible. He walked up and he said, he did just like this. He just nailed down at that altar. He did this, done just like that. And threw it open. Put it down there. Said, the word of God's against you, Satan. You know, talking to the devil. And she reached down, and I watched her. She bit a chunk out of that Bible. And as soon as she bit in a page and tore it out. She spit it out of her mouth. And of course, we went on. But later on, they got that piece of the Bible and put it back in that Bible that she had bit. And right where she had bit out, it said, and Jesus saith unto the devil, go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil did go. And I want you to know, when the word of God tells the devil to go, he's got to go. And when the devil tells the bones to come together, they've got to come together. And the power of the word of God is greater than anything. I know it wasn't long ago they had that wreck up there in Tennessee. Amen. I know it went viral, that picture of that vehicle that had burnt and had that Bible sitting right there in the passenger seat. Maybe y'all saw it, maybe you didn't, and never burned. I know we saw the picture of the Pentagon where that Bible was laid up there and right there in the Pentagon. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the word of God. Amen. But greater than not burning up in a Jeep Cherokee. Amen. On some interstate somewhere. Hallelujah. Greater. Hallelujah. Than casting some devil out and witnessing the greatness. Amen. Is the power of the word of God in our lives that brings things together. Hallelujah. That brings healing. That brings salvation. Why do we preach from this old book? The world don't understand.
understand. Amen. They'll say, "Why I read the Bible? I can't understand it." The devil may be trying to block your mind. Amen. Or something in your mind trying to get you to stop reading the Word of God. Amen. But don't ever stop reading it, young people. Amen. Break open the Word of God. Break open the Bread of Life and read that Bible every day. Amen. Search the Scriptures. When somebody preaches something, amen, go to the Word of God and find out if it's real. Find out if it's true. Amen. I'm telling you, the power of God causes bones to come together. Amen. And when Paul and Silas prayed, amen, the Bible said they went down there to that Philippi, that Philippian jailers, and preached the Word unto him. Amen. Peter preached the Word. Amen. Paul preached the Word. Amen. It's time for us to preach the Word. He said, Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Amen. I know God gives us visions and dreams. Amen. And all kinds of insights and enlightenment. Amen. But it's always to come back to the Word of God. The Bible says that he prophesied to the wind. Hallelujah. Not only the Word, but the wind. Notice the Bible says, verse 9, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath. What a desire for the Holy Ghost to come in our life. A desire for the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, he said, breathe on these slain that they may live. He's standing there in the middle of that valley. And all of a sudden, the wind starts to blow. I want to tell you something tonight. God can put you together. God can put flesh and skin all over you. But if you don't have life, you'll go and start decaying immediately. If only, sister, they would have been put together and had flesh and no life. Ezekiel walk out of there, talk about the great revival they had. But no Holy Ghost, no breath, no touch of God, no life in there. Amen. They would, if your body starts decaying immediately after death. Immediately. And Ezekiel would have took a trip back down there, said, I'm going to go back down there and see how they're doing. See how they look. He went down there a year, months later, and they'd have been all in the same shape they was before. That's why we need the life of God in us. God's put many of people together in these pews. God's put many people together in this church and churches all across this land. But if we don't accept that breath of God, if we don't accept that life of God, if we don't accept that breath from heaven, the Bible says when they was in the upper room, amen, that they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about just sitting there and waiting. All of a sudden the wind began to blow. The Bible tells us that Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Go to that upper room. Go to Jerusalem and tarry. Why do we have to go and tarry? You're alive. You're resurrected. Amen. Are you going to restore the kingdom this time? Amen. In Acts chapter 1, he said, it's not for you to know the signs and seasons that God had put in his own power. Amen. Somebody said the other day that some group or somebody announced that Jesus was going to come back on, I believe it was September 28th or 29th. Y'all might have, I found out the day after. Amen. They said that they put some video on YouTube and, July. Yeah, September. We're not there yet. July. Thank you. But anyway, just a few weeks ago, did y'all know that Jesus was supposed to come back? It's becoming a laughing stock. Amen. But he told the disciples, they said it got over 5 million hits. Amen. On the internet, this article, this I found out the day after. Oh, man. Thank God I was ready. Hallelujah. Let me ask you something. If you find out Jesus comes the day after, are you going to be gone? Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. There in Acts chapter 1. The Bible said he showed himself with many infallible proofs. Hallelujah. Luke started writing to Theophilus, Acts chapter 1. He wrapped it up in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and said they were working with the Lord. Hallelujah. Continually in the temple. Amen. Praising God. Amen. But the story ain't over. Hallelujah. Theophilus, the story ain't over. Amen. He said, I'm going to give you further understanding about the things that was done. I wrote to you, Theophilus, about Jesus Christ. I've got to tell you one more story. And that's the story that has never ended today. Amen. Acts chapter 28. It's like it never ended. Amen. It never was signed off, sister. Amen. Because God wants to write Acts chapter 29 at Kilgore. God wants to write Acts 30. God wants to write it at Azusa Street. Amen. It never ended. It just stops with Paul. All at Rome. I'm telling you what, they're standing there and he was showing himself to them. Amen. And they said, are you going to restore the kingdom? Are you going to rule Jerusalem? Are you going to cast out the Romans? He said, don't worry about that, but go get the breath in you. He said, when you shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you and you shall be witnesses. Amen. They stood on their feet in Ezekiel 37 as an exceeding great army. I'm telling you, God wants to raise up an army in 2016, and it's through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Standing there in that valley, all these people are laying around. They look good, but they're dead. I don't mean to be gory or ugly or whatever, you know, but some people, you know, they can look real good. Like they're asleep or something.
Yes, man. There's nothing wrong with these people. Everything's together.
Everything's perfect.
But they're dead.
They said somebody died at a church a while back. They called the funeral home. They carried out four people before they got to the right one. Said many are called, few are chosen. Somebody got up preaching and said many are called, few are frozen.
Ezekiel sitting there.
He said, come, O wind, and breathe on these slain. That wind began to blow. It got way down low. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He reaches way down and he'll pick up a young person that people said they'll never succeed. They'll never make it. But the Holy Ghost blows way down low and blows in their nostrils. Hallelujah. I'm talking about blowing. Hallelujah. Ezekiel felt that wind. I've been in service before, man. I felt the wind of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to tell you the difference. Ezekiel felt the wind, but they was filled with the wind. And it's not good enough to come to church or go to revival or go to prayer and say, man, I felt it tonight. And go back out the door and cuss. Go back out the door and look at our junk on the internet or the phone or magazines or whatever. I mean, he felt the wind. You know he felt the wind. But they was filled with the wind. And it's not good enough to come get chills bumps. Woo, man. Feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Boy, she's a shouting. She's getting the victory. Hallelujah. Man, wonder what she did wrong to be praying and crying like that. I can tell you right now, we wouldn't be thinking if we was praying and crying our own self. Hello. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that wind began to blow that day. Just like he wants to blow in our services. Just like he wants to blow in our hearts. Just like he wants to blow in our soul. Just like he wants to blow. Amen. The old preacher, I think it was 1973, he said,
Amen. He had felt like God called him to Berkeley, California. Amen. To witness in the university there. He rented a room. He had all of it set up. He was being sponsored and supported. He said all hell broke loose on him. Amen. He said that they threw a rock through the window and fell right by the crib. Amen. Of the baby. Big old rock. Amen. Somebody else got sick. All kinds of things happened. The police, amen, was going to arrest him one time for passing out tracts. He said he called his ministry together and said, I'm quitting. I'm leaving Berkeley, California. He said, I had a Volkswagen bug. He said, me and my wife and baby packed that thing up. Got everything we had in there. Amen. And took off down the road. He said, but they was letting out class. Oh God. He said, they was letting out class. And he said, all these kids began to walk in front of me on the crosswalk. He said, hundreds of them walked. And he said, all I could see that they was going to hell. And I hadn't done what God had called me to do. He said, I put the Volkswagen in reverse, turned it around, went back, called my sponsors and said, I've changed my mind. I'm going to stay. He said, I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown that evening talking to my family and everybody. He said, at 3 o'clock that morning after I fell asleep, he said, I woke up under the unction of the Holy Ghost. He said, crying out to God, my bed soaked in sweat, crying. He said, I got up. He said, I ran down the road, hoping nobody was there. Nobody's there. 3 o'clock in the morning, 1975. He said, I found myself out by a pond on the edge of that university. And he said, I prayed in the Holy Ghost until the sun came up. And he said, when I walked back the next day and pulled tracks out of that box that I'd stuffed in that Volkswagen, he said, I walked down on campus. And he said, I began to hand them out with a new love for God like I never had before. What was it? The wind had blown in that prayer time. And I'm telling you, you can let the wind blow in your heart, and the desires to live for God can come back, and you can stand on your feet in exceeding great army. He said, I stood there, and a radical Muslim came and grabbed my tracks and threw them down and tore up as many as he could grab and began to scream and holler with the crowd. Amen. Chanting and laughing and carrying on as I stood there and tried to reason. He said, all of a sudden, a young man bigger than him stepped out and stood right in front of him and said, do you know who this is? He said, no, I don't know him. He said, he's a man of God. And his name, he said, he called my name. And he said, if you know what's good for you, you better stand behind him, because God sent him here, amen, to witness. And he said, God has given him this city. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I gathered some tracks as they began to help me. He said, I raised up, and he said, I couldn't see the young man. He said, I don't know if he was an angel. He said, but within 3 years, our church had 3,000 people, amen, confess to salvation. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the wind that can blow in your prayer closet. I'm talking about the wind that can blow on Wednesday night. I'm talking about the wind that can blow in the valley and bring it to life. All of a sudden, a graveyard stood on their feet. All of a sudden, a discouraged church stood on their feet. All of a sudden, people that had already given up and others had given up on them stood up, and the devil shook. Hallelujah. The valley wasn't shaken. Hell was shaken. And your valley may be shaken tonight, but if you let the Holy Ghost take over, you won't shake anymore. All hell will shake.
Stand together with me tonight. Let's lift our hands and give.